So we have one more, you know, small agadic, quasi-agadic halachic section, and then we come back to Erev Tavshilin. So on Tezayin and Aleph, we'd finish the discussion of Hachana for Shabbos. Then the Gemara picks up with a little unit that I really don't know what to say on it, but we'll just read through it. Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, Hanosein Matana Lechaveiro, Ein Sarach Lehodio. If you give a gift to your friend, you don't have to tell him. Shneemar Moshe lo yadaki karan or panav, that Moshe didn't know that his face had been illuminated, and presumably that, you know, the glowing face that he received from Hashem was some sort of gift, but he didn't know about it. So you see that you don't have to tell somebody they're giving them a gift. Then the Gemara says Meisve. The Gemara challenges it.
What's the relevance of that statement?
I have no idea.
So just out of the blue. Give someone a gift, you don't have to tell them you gave them a gift.
Yeah, so I think, maybe Howie can shed some insight into this, is at the end of this discussion, which is what we'll come to, the Gemara's classic example of the gift is Shabbos, and the Neshama Yesera you get on Shabbos. It could be that the whole discussion is brought in just to get to that point, because we just talked about Hachana for Shabbos. But I'm not sure, right? It's also possible that that preceding this unit, we were talking about the chiyuv to give gifts to the poor on Yom Tov, right? To give matanos lemanos le'nachon lo. So maybe it's building off that. I'm not really sure. It comes a little bit out of nowhere. But the end of it talks about Shabbos, we were talking about, and the beginning of it talks about gifts, which vaguely connects, but I don't know. So then the Gemara challenges it, and then Meisvei, Aham Ladas Kenia Hashem Mikadishchem, Amar Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Moshe Matana Tova Yesh LeMeis Ginazi V'Shabbos Shema. Right? In another case, right, it says that I gave you Shabbos so that you should know that I sanctified you. So the Gemara says that Hashem said to Moshe, I have a wonderful gift in my storehouses, and its name is Shabbos. Vani mevakesh l'tnan l'Yisrael, and I want to give it to the Jewish people. Leich v'hodio sam, let them know that I'm giving it to them, and this is a wonderful gift. Mikana Roshimon ben Gamliel, hanosein pas latino, k'sarach l'hodio le'imo. So from here, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that if you give bread to a child, because he'll assume that's a gift, or whatever, candy, whatever the case may be, you have to tell his mother. Rashi says, right, the reason you want to tell people is because you want... Where is it? Right, so you have to, right, you make a mark. Is this Rashi? How is this set up? Where's Rashi? On the left side?
Yeah.
Oh. This one? And the
one that's in the Rashi print.
Oh, I see. Shines also, is it, got it. Right, so he says, right, the first reason is just so that people aren't, first, he says you tell them so they aren't shocked where it came from. And then he says the reason is because you want them, mitoch kach yadu aviv imo shu ohavam. The reason you want the parents to know that you gave the present to the child is because you want them to know that you love them. Vetir ba'ava v'reyus b'Yisrael. And that will increase love amongst the Jewish people. Right, so it's a nice idea. I don't know if there's more to it than that, right? Meaning, it's slightly in tension with other cases in the Gemara where we avoid letting people know that you're giving them things. But I assume here it's just a gift for the purpose of creating Ava and Reyes, so you want them to know. I didn't really see anyone write about it. But anyway, so the Gemara says that based on this notion that you have to tell somebody you're giving them a gift, so if you're giving a food to a child, so you should tell his mother. So the Gemara says, so which is it? Is it that you don't tell them that you're going to be giving them a gift, or that you do? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, ha b'matana davida l'gluye, ha b'matana de lo avida l'gluye, right? The end goal is that they know that the gift was given. So if people will figure it out without you telling them, so you don't have to tell them. If they won't figure it out, then you do have to tell them. So now, bringing it back to the Shabbos discussion, the Gemara says, Shabbos, nami matana, davida, legluya. people, once you gave them Shabbos, so then they would know that they got Shabbos. Why did you have to preface it? If you think that the only reason you have to tell somebody you gave them a gift is because they need to eventually find out about it. So Moshe was about to give them the gift. Why did he have to preface it by saying, by the way, I'm giving you a gift? Doesn't that contradict the rule we just set out? So the Gemara says, it's true that simply by giving Shabbos they would know about it, but if he didn't specify, they wouldn't know Matan Schar Lo Avida Legluye. They wouldn't automatically know about the reward. So Amar Mar Mikana Rushim Ben Gamliel, based on this notion that you have to let people know that you're giving them a gift, Hanosin Baslatino Xarchlo Dil Imo, if you give bread to a child, you have to tell his mother, my Avid Lai, so what do you do? Shayefle Mishcha, Umali Le Kuchla, you put a little oil, a little bit of like a blue, and a little bit of blue makeup on his face, just so they know you were there, and they'll, you know, then they'll, Rashi says, they'll ask the child who did that, they'll say, oh, you know, Howie gave me candy. Right, that's, you know, my son is very good at this. He knows. I asked him, who gives you candy? Karupkin? Howie. He's like, he's got it down. But now that we're worried about magic, so what should we do? Because apparently, you know, putting this blue markings on someone's heads with a sign of magic, and that would scare people. So how do you let somebody know you're giving them a gift? So you spread a little bit of that which you gave as a gift, right? So if you're giving candy, right, take a little bit of the candy and, you know, sugar all over their hair, they'll know that they had candy, and that's fine. So I'm Rabbi Yochum Rishon Ben Yochai, Kol Mitzvah Shenasan Lamakadosh Baruch Yisrael Nasan Bevarhes. Yeah, now this leads us to this discussion where we say that every gift that God gave to the Jewish people, he gave them in public, Chutz Mishabbos Shenasan Lambitzina, except for Shabbos, which we gave in private. Shenemar Beini Uvein Bnei Yisrael Osi Leolam. It's between me and the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, "Iach, if that's the case, lo le'anshu nachrem Allah, then the non-Jews shouldn't be punished for it." And this presumably connects to that extensive Agadata at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, where at the end of days, God comes to the nations of the world and says, "Why didn't you accept the Torah? Why didn't you keep the Torah?" They say, "What do you mean? You didn't offer it." "Yes, I did." "Okay, but the Jews, right, still it's not fair. Give us another shot." So he gives them another shot, and he gives them sukkah, and they go into the sukkah, and Hashem brings out the sun, and it's really hot, so they kick the sukkah and leave. And the Gemara says, "But what do you mean? They're patur, it's mitzayir patur mana sukkah." "Oh, but even if it's mitzayir and they're patur, they shouldn't have kicked the sukkah. They should recognize the beauty of mitzvot." Right, in that discussion, right, all these discussions. "What do you mean we didn't do good things? We built roads and bridges for the Jewish people." "No, you built the bridges to collect tolls, etc." Right, so there's that whole theme in Chazal, right, that in the end of days, the non-Jews will be punished for not having accepted the Torah. So, but if Shabbos is hidden, and so then how could they be punished for that? Right, if the whole assumption of that Gemara is that the only reason the non-Jews can be punished for not accepting the Torah is that it was all offered to them and they turned it down, if Shabbos wasn't, it was given in private and they didn't know about it, so then how could they be punished? So the Gemara says, you're right. But Shabbos Udeo Dinhu, you're right, they did know about Shabbos, but Matan Schara Lo Odinhu, but God hadn't made known the reward. And that, right, you're not going to, you can't say to God, "Oh, if only you told me how much reward there would be, I would have accepted it." I mean, no, you should accept it without knowing how much reward you would get for it. And since you didn't, you can be punished. And then the Gemara says, "Ibai same." Alternatively, even Matan Schar Nami Odinhu. They did know about the Schar, they knew about the reward, but Nishama Yesera Lo Odinhu. But they didn't know about this notion of Nishama Yesera, that you get your extra soul on Shabbos. To Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Nishama Yesera Nosin Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'adam Be'erev Shabbos, that you're given an extra soul on Erev Shabbos, L'motzai Shabbos, and after Shabbos, Not L'motzai Mena, and after Shabbos, we take it away from you, Shenemar, Shabbos Ve'ina Fash, it was Shabbos and you rested, Kevan Shish Shabbos, once you've finished resting, Vai of the Nefesh. Woe to us that we've now lost our extra soul. So, what I want to do today is just analyze this idea. Right, what is this Neshama Yesera? What does it mean that on Shabbos you get an extra soul? Both, first of all, just what does it mean? And the second is, are there any ramifications to it? Many people have heard of this idea that there's Neshama Yesera on Shabbos, right? It's in some of his Miros. And
when they say Neshama in the Gor's time, what did it mean by Neshama?
So that's really the question here, right? So what could neshama mean?
Right. We define it as a soul.
Right. So when we think about it, we think about it as a soul. So what would neshama yisera be in its extreme form?
An extra soul,
right? Some like spiritual, whatever, second soul, whatever exactly that is. Rashi, though, didn't think that's what it is. And it could be that he didn't think that's what neshama meant. So if you look at Rashi here, Rashi says, neshama yisera, rochav lev lemenucha, right, it's on the page, or in the Gemara, right, rochav lev lemenucha lesimcha. It means, right, rochav lev, right, he gives you the ability, right, he widens your heart, he makes you more capable of resting, and rejoicing, v'lios pasuach lervacha, that you should be open, you should be generous, right? That the ability to eat a lot without feeling disgusting, right? That tranquility, right? Neshama Yisera, it's not you get a new soul. It's as if you get a new soul, right? You get a peace of mind that comes with Shabbos, that allows you to enjoy, to eat, to drink, right? To be in the festive spirit of Shabbos. That's all Neshama Yisera means.
So why isn't it connected to learning? Like, why is Neshama Yisera physical to physical pleasures?
Right. So, so that's an interesting question. So for Rashi, I don't know, right? The truth is, coming back to Alan's point, it could be that where did Rashi get it from? Now I'm just speculating. Is maybe Rashi asked the same question Alan did, which is, what is this doing in the Gemara? Right? And his answer might have been based on Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. Right? Is that we've the two discussions ago, right, the Gemara had asked, what is the mitzvah of Yom Tov? And the Gemara had said, right, Chatzi Lochem, that part of Yom Tov is the physical aspect of the Lochem.
So we're talking about Shabbos now.
And right, but the Gemara in Pesachim, right, the parallel to it is that B'Shabbos Afilu Rabbi Lazar Moded Bina Nami Lochem. Right, the Gemara in Beitza doesn't actually have the parallel, right. The addition, but it may be in Rashi's mind, right, that this is sort of the equivalent, right, that in the Gemara in Pesachim we actually continue and say, Yom Tov Yechatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem, and on Shabbos everyone agrees you need Lachem because there's a mitzvah of Oneg, and maybe this is the equivalent of that statement here, right, that Rashi is saying, oh, Shabbos, everyone agrees that you have Lachem. So that's speculation, but maybe that would answer the question. Maybe that's where Rashi gets it from. That this is the, right, it could be he looked at the Gemara and said, what are we missing? Why are we missing that conversation? And maybe it's a different aspect, right? There it talks about the halachic chiyuv to have Lachem, and here it's saying the ability to enjoy Lachem. So maybe that's where Rashi got it from. Again, I haven't seen anyone say it because I just thought of it now, so it could be someone did. But Rashi just thinks that it's,
quite physical, right?
Yeah, that it's very, very physical. I saw today, I had missed it the first time around, so I didn't get to put on the Makar sheet, that the Shin Mekubetza does say how it does, right? That it's the tranquility to spend time learning a little bit, right? Like, just peace of mind, a little bit more spiritual, but also he thinks it's more peace of mind. Then I... In source 2, I found this sefer, the Leket Sichos Moser. I'm not even sure who it's from. It's, I think, from one of the Lopians, where he tries to just build on this idea. And he says like this, Mosif Sheshtei Halechem Miramez Lazeh She'anachnu Ovdim Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol HaTaivas. He says that when we have shtei alechem, when we have the two loaves of bread on Shabbos, it's hinting to the fact that we serve God with all our desires. Kolel lechem mamish, v'lechem ishto, v'zeh neshama yisera. So he, right, starts with the assumption of neshama yisera, and now he tries to answer, I think he's trying to answer Howie's question, which is, why is it not physical? Why is it not spiritual? It is. Right, the point of Shabbos and Yom Tov, in many ways, is to not just, sanctify the spiritual, but to show that if done right, the physical itself is spiritual. So we can call that, quote-unquote, Neshama Yisera. And on Shabbos, we have the ability to enjoy the taivos of this world. And that is our Neshama Yisera, that we recognize that they are spiritual. And then he says that, why do you have two? So we note that the one thing that we do on Shabbos, which Rashi already hints to here, is that we eat. But the other thing, right, is the Gemara says in Ksubos that, right, Onas Talmidei Chachamim, Erev Shabbos, Larev Shabbos, the primary night for intimacy was also Friday night, right, that Shabbos was a day where you're supposed to enjoy the physical world, and recognize that the physical world is a means by which to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, that's why you have two loaves of bread, because lechem has a double meaning in Tanakh, right? One is physically, like bread, and the other one is like by, he doesn't explain it here, but he does in the longer piece, by Potiphar, it says that he put everything into Yosef's hands, except for a lechem asher ochel, which Chazal understand to mean his wife, right? That lechem can be both of the main realms of Taiva, the appetitive and the sexual. So again, it could be that Rashi understands Neshama Yisera to be physical in light of Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. It could be that what he's trying to accomplish is saying that the goal of Shabbos is not just to be involved in spirituality, but is to sanctify the physical. And now that I think about it, actually, he does. This Sefer, the Lakhzichul Musar, actually does connect the Neshama Yisera to about Sarah's or Shabbos being an Amilachem. So maybe that would go in the direction that I'm suggesting here, and maybe that's what Rashi really was thinking, that the whole framing of the Gemara is to say that Shabbos, just like Yom Tov, has the chelek of Lachem, but it's not purely physical, it's spiritual. So Rashi, in the end of the day, then thinks that Neshama Yisera is physical, is the ability to enjoy physical taivas. All the way to the other extreme is the Kabbalistic view that seems to have caught on, right? Which is which the Ramban ascribes to and is spelled out at length in pages and pages and pages in the Zohar. But I gave like two lines of it, which is that literally it means a second soul. Right? This is not physical. This is not tranquility. It's not as if you got a neshama yisera. You got a neshama yisera. So the Ramban says v'zeh tam, and the Marsha, if you look here, just says ayin Ramban al Torah. So this is the Ramban he's referring to. V'zeh tam shavas v'inafash v'hi neshama yisera ba miyisod olam asher biado nevesh kol chai v'hinei aparsha mivu eret. What does it mean? It means you get a different soul, which comes from Yisod Olam Asher Biado Nevesh Kol Chai, that comes from the supernal realms from God. And the Zohar really spells it out. This is in Source 4, Amar of Nachman, Nefesh Yisera Nitosefes Ba'adam Biyom HaShabbos. On Shabbos you get a second soul. And Amar Le Rebbe, my Nefesh Yisera Zu, what is this? Amar Le, Ruach HaKodesh Yishore Alav. It's a divine spirit that rests on you. Umachdir La'adam Beketer Kadosh. And it crowns a person with a holy crown, b'kitrei ha-melachim, with the crown of the angels, v'hu me'oto ruach she'asid lishros al tzadikim lasid lavo, and it's part of that same spirit that will eventually rest on the tzadikim in the end of days. Right? So the mikubalim really, really think that what this is a second soul. Right, and in the Zohar he continues to spell it out. Right, that basic Kabbalah. There's 10 spheros, and different spiritual forces find their place in different of the spheros. So right, he elaborates that it's not just that there's a second soul, but that normally our soul comes from one area of the spheros, and then the soul that's added comes from a different area of the spheros, from a higher level of the spheros. So there's actually some sort of metaphysical change going on. In your soul. I put here just in brackets on the top, right, like in the actual title, that he continues to that kol achan mekabel neshama sheshayechad l'sfira shelo, l'tchunot nefesh shelo, that each person, he continues to explain, is related to one of the sfiro, and the second soul you get is one that expresses your particular sfira and your personality. And he has a whole arichos, which I don't fully understand. But do they
tie this to being Shomer Shabbat? You're giving us two lines of this. When they elaborate, are they saying that there is on Shabbat there's a physical change in every human being? Or are they saying on Shabbat, for those that observe Shabbat, there is a change?
It sounds like even, just like it's automatic. I don't remember if in the piece he says you lose it if you're Michal Shabbos. That may be implied, but I don't know.
Let me ask a quick question. People die on Shabbos.
Yes. And then both of their souls, I don't know, both of their souls go back. Or, I don't know. And one of them stay animated only by their second soul or something. I don't know. But anyways, this is the Kabbalistic position, right? That that really on Shabbos you get a second soul, whatever exactly that means, but you get two souls. The third position, is the Ramban quotes from the Ibn Ezra. It's not actually an R Ibn Ezra for some. It's like implied in the Ibn Ezra. I mean, all the Rishonim took him this way. It's quoted here. It's quoted in the Avud Dram. But it's not actually that clear in the Ibn Ezra himself, so he just put it from the Ramban. But this is the position of the Ibn Ezra, which is ki abracha tosefes tov sheyischadesh haguvos yitaron koach bitoladot uvineshama yitaron haseichel vikadesh oto shlo asa bo malacha kishar yamim. So the Ibn Ezra says it's not a new soul; it's that every aspect of you is somehow enhanced. And so your physical body gets increased strength, and your neshama, right, your intellect gets increased intellect, right? So neshama yisera just means sort of an enhancement of all qualities that you have, right? So Rashi now we have had focused purely on the physical. The Mekubalim had gone to the extent of saying you actually get a second soul, and now the Ibn Ezra is saying it's spiritual and physical, but it's not a new soul, it's just some sort of enhancement of all of your different kochot, physical and spiritual. The Meiri, in the Sefer Meshiv Nefesh, introduces yet another possibility. He says like this, Mishabas liyom tov, om yom tov lechol, in mevarchan al b'samin. We'll come back to this, but one of the big halachic sort of ramifications of this notion of the Nisham B'Seir is that the Gemara says that when Shabbos is over, we, in Havdalah, we have Besamim to, you know, wake us up because we've lost our soul. We have to comfort ourselves that we've lost our Nisham B'Seir, whatever that means. So the Miri just brings that up. And he says, V'hum Masha Amru Nisham B'Seir Yesh Lodan B'Shabbos. The right the reason we need Besamim is because we have a Nisham B'Seir. Klomar. So what is that? Pinuya V'Archavat Shekol mitzad hafnota oref el hadvarim magashmiim kamoshe kadam harem mezbazeb. So he says, what is it? It's tranquility, not that God grants you tranquility, and this comes to Howie's point, is Nisham Yisera automatic or is it contingent on keeping Shabbos? So he says, it's the tranquility that comes because you keep Shabbos and turn your back on the mundane things you're doing, right? The fact, everyone knows that, right, magic spiritual forces or not, when you turn off your smartphone going into Shabbos, there's a, right, you know, it's the best moment of the week, right? It's off for 24 hours, no one can, and, you know, it's the only time when at 2 o'clock in the morning no one can contact you, right? Your phone doesn't go off and you hear the emails coming in. That gives you a certain type of tranquility as if you had a different soul, but it comes from keeping Shabbos. Now he gets to the linguistic point that Gerard brought up before, is where did he get this from? So he says, the word neshama yisera comes from the fact that all parts of the soul are called nefesh. V'ratza bo sha'koach ha'misorer l'dvar mangashmiyim k'mosha noda mi pahalot kochot hanefesh gam hu yashuv yafeich yado elokim yasim dibrato rotze lomar shiu kol chalakav bilti notim udavar chotzeit bnei haseichel ad shi yishaer kulo chazak chilek echad safa achad dvarim achadim levod Hashem. So he says, all parts of the soul are nefesh, meaning that the energy that drives you to physical things can also push you to spiritual things, right? You can push your physical or your intellect to do the same thing, to serve God. And then, so after Shabbos, right, when you've stopped turning your physical and your spiritual kochot all for the service of God and you're going back to the mundane, so we say, Vai of the nefesh, you've lost that soul. Klomar shu az yashuv l'tor l'vakei shachatarfo. Now you've gone back to work and you're running after Parnasa. So now you don't have time, right? So now you're split on Shabbos when you don't have work. So you have the ability to turn your physical and your spiritual and your intellectual kochot towards Hashem with no interruptions. During the week you don't, because you have to work and you have to spend time on the mundane. V'kivno la'ir zeh b'tchila sha'an anitunali. That's good. B'dvarim agashmiim. Right, and the point is that as we're about to start the physical again, we want to remind ourselves of what we're losing, that we're losing the ability to have a singular focus on spirituality because we're turning back to physicality. So you have the besamim only when you go from Shabbos into Chol and not from Shabbos into Yom Tov, right? Because if Neshama Yisera means that by virtue of the fact that you keep Shabbos, you have a unique ability to focus on Avodas Hashem because you're putting everything else aside, and you need a reminder when you're finishing that day that you're going back to the mundane and, you know, chaval, that we no longer have the ability to have that focus, so it's only when you go from Shabbos into Chol, not from Shabbos into Yom Tov.
So is this more of a synthesis of the Gashmias and the...
Like
he's taking both, like, Rashi and... And the Ramban.
The Ibn Ezra did it also, right? The Ibn Ezra did it also, but he's the first one to say explicitly that it's not... Like, the Ibn Ezra, it sounds like you get physical and spiritual, but it might still be like, you know, God grants it to you.
Right.
He's saying, no, it's just, it's a natural function of keeping Shabbos, that since you put everything else aside, so now you can turn your physical and your spiritual kochot towards God without any interruptions, and that's as if you get another neshama.
So when Rashi says "rochev leiv lemnuchal and simcha," he doesn't mean that we suddenly get an extra energy to do it.
So he's not clear, right? So Rashi's not clear. It could be that you actually get some magic thing, or it's just mimela, since you're not working and you're just, you know, you're relaxing. Right? It's the same koach that you've seen on Thanksgiving, right? American Thanksgiving, people get this amazing ability to relax and have these six-hour meals, even though it's the middle of the week, right? It's not because of Neshama Yisera, it's because, you know, there's a long weekend. So it could be that's what Rashi means. He's not clear. But so far, so what we have is we have Rashi, who says that it's about the ability to enjoy the physical. Again, he doesn't explain whether God grants you that ability or simply by the virtue of the fact that you're not working, you get that ability to relax. The Lechet Sichot Musar just adds that the point of having this Neshama Yisera, of having this ability to enjoy the physical, is to realize your ability to direct it at Hashem, which again may be why this Gemara is put here after the Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Lachem Gemara, is to bring that point to mind. You have the Mekubalim who think you actually get a second soul. You have the Ibn Ezra who thinks you get an enhanced physical strength and enhanced spiritual strength. And the Meiri just says, right, it's not any enhanced strength. It's just that by virtue of the fact that we're not working, so you get the ability to concentrate, and that gives you more success in spirituality.
Okay. I may not recall correctly, but when you gave this year 2 weeks ago, I think it was talking about Shabbos and not Yom Tov, that you had an opinion that on Shabbos you do whatever is the opposite of what you do during
the week. Yeah, right. The Yerushalmi says, and the Beis Yosef Paskin is the way, that you do the opposite. Okay. Right? That if you're a Talmud Chacham, you...
Right, so it's not necessarily physical. So in other words, if during the week you are physical, then Shabbat you should be spending your time learning. So
that would fit with like the Ibn Ezra, right? That it's, you get strengthened physical and spiritual, and then how you use them is...
Right.
Right,
so
I think...
You should be doing what you're not doing during the week.
Yeah, so I think that Ibn Ezra would work well with this Yerushalmi, which the Beis Yosef quotes, right? That on Shabbos you're supposed to, whatever is missing during the week, you express it. So yeah, so that's an interesting point. The Divrei Yatziv, right, Tarchiner pointed this one out to me, has an interesting claim. He says, so first of all, he says he claims that there might be Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov also. But at a lower level, he says, what is this Neshama Yisera? It's not internal.
It's external.
It's external. It's right. Something is added into the world that gives you extra abilities, but it's not actually internal. The two malachim, that come on Shabbos are from this Neshama Yisera. So it sounds like from him that Neshama Yisera isn't...
Who's the Dibri guy? Is that the Klosenberger?
It's the Klosenberger.
So it's a Hasidish type of work.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is like, now we've jumped, right? Everything we've seen until here is, is... Dibri Yatsev is great. It's a wonderful tshuva sefer. But yes, we've now jumped, you know, to the 20th century, to the mid-late 20th century from the Rishonim. Right in the Rishonim, the common denominator between all of them and in the Zohar is that it's internal, whatever it is, right? If it's natural, if it's spiritual, but it's internal, it's you. The Dibri Yatsev is now introducing the possibility that this, you know, spirit that descends on the world doesn't just descend into you, that, right, your abilities on Shabbos are enhanced because now you're surrounded by new spiritual forces, like these two malachim, whatever they are. But he notes that, and this makes sense within his scheme, is that if that's the case, so you can have a neshama yisera on Shabbos, and if you have a neshama yisera on Yom Tov, they'll just be they'll be different kinds, right? Shabbos is a more spiritual day, so there's more spiritual kochot in the world. Yom Tov is less, so you'll have something less. Right, and then he says, right, that he finishes Ve'ilu Rak Madregas Neshama Yisera de Shabbos, right? The Malachim are from the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos. Lezeh b'Yom Tov ein omrim Shama Aleichem, and that's why on Yom Tov, even though there's some sort of Neshama Yisera, you don't say Shama Aleichem because there's no extra angels. It's some sort of weaker force. Okay, so that's just sort of a
so
brief survey.
The argument. Whether you say Shalom Aleichem or not from Shabbos to Yom Tov or Yom Tov to Shabbos.
Exactly, right? That's what he's weighing in on, right? He thinks you don't say it in Yom Tov, period, or you don't say it on...
But if it's Yom Tov to Shabbos, like if there...
Right, Yom Tov to Shabbos, you would say it because according to him, right, something new has been introduced into the world. Right, I mean, that's the context of this.
You don't say it, right?
Right, exactly, right.
That's interesting.
So there's no Hashem Yetzera on Yom Tov then?
So according to him, there is, right? According to him, there's a Madrega Yoser Nemucha, right? It's a, there is, but at a weaker level, but we'll see that there are people who think there isn't at all. Right? He thinks there is,
right?
But we'll see that there are people who think that there isn't. So now the rest of the sources, from now till the end, right, do two things, and it goes a little bit back and forth because, you know, you learn from one to the other, explore some halachic implications of this, right? Like, what does it mean, right? Okay, it's very nice, this idea of getting Hashem's ear, but how does it manifest itself in this? This part is basically in its entirety from Roy Churchiner, because he said when he gave Shir in Allentown, he loved giving Anisham Yisera, so he gave me this list of nafkamina. So I just took some of the more interesting ones off his list. If you want afterwards, I can send you the sheet he sent me with just his list of all the nafkaminas. I picked like five. But through the nafkaminas, we'll also see what exactly people think this is. Okay. So number 8, the Tzitz Eliezer, we'll see one nafkamina, and Toch Kedei will also see when he thinks you get it, right? Because so far we said at Shabbos you get Neshama Yisera, but the question that he wants to know is when exactly do you get it going into Shabbos? So he writes like this: Kosev apnei Aharon b'dvarav sham lases chizok gam l'mashenagul lamon me'avei lusam kvar me'achatzos. He quotes from Pnei Aharon, who wanted to explain why is it that people stop sitting Shiva after Chatzos on Fridays. So he says, "V'kosev d'shema nagukach al pi mashekazam mikubalim." So maybe this is based on what the Mikubalim said to Erev Shabbos, Achar Chatzos, Mascha Lavo Neshama Yisera, that the Neshama Yisera already begins to descend to the world starting Friday after Chatzos. Hare Dil Das HaMikubalim, Achar Chatzos, Kfar Chal Kedusha Shabbos. So according to Mikubalim, after Chatzos on Friday, the holiness of Shabbos has begun to descend. Ulufichach nagu lamon mavelusam. So you see a few things from it. First of all, you see that Tzitzit Eliezer thinks that it starts on Friday already, as opposed to starting Shabbos. And he also thinks that has a halach nafkamina, right? That you can't be misabel, right? You can't really be mourning when you have the neshama yisera. Once Shabbos has begun to start, once your spirit has been enhanced by this new neshama, and therefore he says that's why we don't sit up shiva after chatzos on Friday. Now, right? Based on the Meiri, though, right? For example, right from the Iri, it's clear you couldn't say this because he says no. Neshama Yisera is not a function of the kedusha of Shabbos, and even if you want to say Friday is the beginning of kedusha of Shabbos, he says Neshama Yisera is a function of resting, right? If anything, Friday afternoon, right? You have no Neshama Yisera, you're not thinking about anything, right? You have, you know, it's chaos. So from the Iri, this doesn't work. This only works if you start going to the spiritual realms of, you know, the Ramban, the Zohar, and the like. But if you think that, no, Neshama Yisera is this practical thing, that when you're tranquil, so you have greater abilities, like Meiri, like Rashi, like Ibn Ezra, so then presumably this doesn't make sense to say that it starts already on Friday. Right, we know the Gemara in general says that right, Friday is supposed to be a day of work, preparing for Shabbos. Right, so if you think Neshama Yisera is about, you know, is a function of being tranquil, then presumably it doesn't matter that Erev Shabbos at some level has the kedusha of Shabbos. But for the Mikubalim, it would work, right? Because you can say, okay, so I don't know how the, and maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know how the supernal realms work.
Is that generally accepted that chatzos you get up?
Or that you can get up? Yeah, I think so. I mean,
most people get up later.
A little bit, right? They daven early mincha and then they get up.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I thought you got up nothing to do with anything spiritual, just in time to prepare for
that's Shabbat. What I thought. Right. That's right.
Well, that's what I thought, but he's quoting some of the Mikubalim who think not that way. I mean, there are definitely people who get up after early mincha. You know, I've seen that. And I've seen people who get up an hour before Shabbos. I've seen both. Right. Yeah. You know. And I mean, he's you know bringing the Kabbalistic position, which is to say that it's you know that already at Chatzos it's already Shabbos like, so you get up then. But for sure, I've seen people who say not that way. Right. You know,
The Rav likes the Mikubalim because he was criticism is that we don't have Erev Shabbos Jews anymore. Right. So for him, it means that the Neshama Yisera starts early.
Well, maybe, or he thinks that no Friday. Right. To be a Friday Jew is to. You know, prepare for Shabbos
right,
to be.
So it means that, yeah, that's
right.
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. So the in Source 9, this is in the Shari Tshuva. So he quotes from Chaim Vital, right? Ayin be Moreno Arav Chaim Vital Kishomer Ufros, right? When you say right at the end of Birchas Kriyat Shema. Right, you have to stand up. So Reb Chaim Vital, even though he's a Kabbalist, he thinks this is not true. Right, he thinks the Neshama Yisera doesn't start on Friday. It starts when you finish. I don't know why. It starts when you finish Birchos Kriyat Shema. Right, as you're about to start Shmona Esrei of Shabbos, that's when Neshama Yisera. Not l'chadodi. This is beyond me, why this is true, but the whole Neshama Yisera thing in the Kabbalistic world is totally beyond me. So, sure, Reb Chaim Vital says that it comes at the end of Birchas Kriyat Shema. Could be. Right, or he thinks that's, maybe they were reaching that at, you know, Shkia time, I have no idea. But at any rate, even within the Kabbalistic realm, right, you don't have to say that it starts on Friday. Reb Chaim Vital is heavily in the Kabbalistic spheres, and he's, right, he does not think this is the case. He thinks that it comes, at night. Okay. In Source 10, he brings another Nafkamina. Right, so like I said, the classic nafkamina from the Gemara already is that we have besamim to you know sort of wake us up and make us happy after we've lost our extra soul. But the question still remains is what does that mean? Right, are you having the besamim because of like some objective soul that left you, or because like look you're upset, like you were relaxed and now. You're not relaxed. You need something to, you know, to either like the Meiri to remind you that you have the ability to direct things towards the spiritual, or simply to you know give you a last sort of a boost as you go into the week. So the Pulas Tzadik, who I did look up who it is now, I don't remember who it was. So he says like this. He asks, "What happened? Misha Nisana b'Shabbos. So if you fast on Shabbos." So the question he wants to deal with is if you fast on Shabbos, you didn't actually enjoy Shabbos fully.
Nobody ever fasts the whole Shabbos.
They do.
Let's say you have a Tanis Chalom, right? So you do. You, the neshama came already in there, right? No.
So, well, that's what he's going to say in a second, right? So, but let's say you fast, you know, at least you do okay. 10 kolam, so all of the day, meaning right. Motzei Shabbos, you haven't enjoyed Shabbos, right? You haven't had the whatever tranquility reason. You've been, right? You know, you had that horrible dream, and you have a tainus chalom, and, you know, forget the tranquility. We don't see this often, though. I have seen it. I've been asked to be part of Batei Dinim on Shabbos before for Hatavas Chalom. So there are people who really get, all stressed out. It was the weirdest thing in the world. He's like, can you be part of a Bezdin of Hatavas Chalom? I'm like, sure, if that will make you feel better. But
and what's the purpose of having the Beis Din on Shabbos, to relieve a person of the obligation to fast,
or just to calm them down? It's the best. Like, if I remember correctly, like the Beis Din gets together and declares that the negative implications of your dream won't come true, and the positive
really
won't.
Good.
Well, so you mean sort of a substitute then for fasting?
Maybe
it's in the art scroll if you ever want to look it up.
Is it?
Is it?
I think so.
It could be. That's where we looked it up. This is a long. I was in high school, and I was like, okay.
I've never heard of that.
Right.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a woman who used to come in the Shacharis and always was there, that often she would get people to stay afterward. I think she was a Russian woman, and get people, and she would do Hataras Chalom a number of times.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I haven't seen that often, but I have seen it. So he says, but what happens, right? So now you've been fasting most of the day. So going into Motzei Shabbos, do you have Besamim? So first of all, he says, look, first of all, yes, you have Besamim, because... Right, for the very simple reason that this is how halacha works. Right, whenever we have brachos and things like that, it's al minhago shel olam.
Right,
so he says, first things first is even if it doesn't make sense for you to have besamim, you would still have besamim because that's the takana. And maybe you this Shabbos didn't enjoy it. That's not the point. So that's his first possibility. But his second possibility says no. Od yesh lechalik the hasam came in the kibul like tiniest meurta lo nichnas abo neshama yaser me olam. So or it depends. If you accept a fast already for all 24 hours of Shabbos, so then the neshama yisera never enters you. But if you eat at night and then you have a tainas chalom, so the neshama yisera did come in. And it doesn't leave until the besamim of Motzei Shabbos. So the pulas tzaddik clearly takes the Rashi Ibn Ezra-esque approach. So what is Neshama Yisera? Neshama Yisera is the tranquility that comes with Shabbos. And he says, well, it depends, right? If in fact you would fast the whole Shabbos, you would never get the Neshama Yisera because, you know, you have now declared that Shabbos is not Shabbos, right? You're not going to enjoy it. So then you won't get the Neshama Yisera. But if you do a Tainas Chalom, so at night already, you've gone into that tranquility and now... Right? So you've already entered that mindset. You need to do something to let it go. It could be he also thinks it's spiritual. But his point is, right, that Neshama Yisera comes, and again, I think this is very Rashi-like, right, that it's, or Meiri-like, right, that once you started celebrating Shabbos, so then you're in that mindset. Then even if part of the day you're not, you were in that mindset. But if in fact, in theory, you would, you know, fast the whole day, then you would never have put yourself in the proper mindset of enjoying yourself. Right, in the Rashi-esque sense, and then you really wouldn't have Neshama Yisera, and then you wouldn't need Besamim on Motzei Shabbos. So far on these, we've seen a few sort of, you know, points to qualify. First is, right, when does it come, which might depend on what is it. So if you think it's the more spiritual, so then you can go in the direction of the Pnei Aharon that it comes already Erev Shabbos, which may have not been for Avelos. Reb Chaim Vital thinks it comes, right, at Kriya Shema for some reason. And then you have the Pula Tzaddik, who seems to be going in the Rashi direction, that no, it comes from actually enjoying Shabbos. So if you were to fast all of Shabbos, you wouldn't get it. As long as you would enjoy part of Shabbos, so then you would already be in that state of mind, or you would get that, you know, you get that addition. And the nafkamina for him is besamim, right? If you fast all of Shabbos, you wouldn't need it because, you know, you didn't really get your neshamis here. You didn't enjoy it. But if as long as you enjoy part of it, so then you do. Okay. So then, source 11 gets back to the question we raised before, which was, do we have neshamis here on Yom Tov? So we saw already that the Divrei Yatziv thinks you do, but at a lower level. But this already comes up in Tosfos. So Tosfos in Psachim, on the famous Yakna Hazgemaras, right? You know, what happens, right, when Shabbos goes into Yom Tov, Yom Tov goes into Shabbos, right? How do you make Havdalah Kiddush, right? So all those different formulations, Yayin Kiddush, Ner Havdalah, right? You're mixing Havdalah and Kiddush. So the, so Tosfos says, Masha and Masker Besomim. Why is it that when Yom Tov is on Motzei Shabbos, the Gemara says Yakna Haz, right? Yayin Kiddush, Ner Havdalah Zman, Remin Shechayanu. But it doesn't say Besomim, right? And that's our practice, that we don't have Besomim on Motzei Shabbos Yom Tov. So Perush Rashbam, Ditam Besomim Mishum Ibud Neshama Yisera. So Rashbam says that the reason that we have Besomim is because of the laws of Neshama Yisera. Ube Yom Tov Nami Ika Neshama Yisera. And on Yom Tov we have Neshama Yisera. Now, this could work for anybody, right? Neshama Yisera, you could say that, you know, the magic extra soul you get because on Yom Tov, you could say you don't, I have no idea, but it definitely works, and the Rashi and Meiri approaches work very well to say, yeah, Yom Tov is also a day that you enjoy yourself, that you're not working. So there's also Nisham Yisera, so you don't need to have Bisamim. So the Gemara says, then Tosafot says, Vikasha, if that's the case, Im Kenu Motzei Yom Tov, Amaylo Takinu Bisamim. Right, if it's true, you get it on Yom Tov, then why is it that on a regular Yom Tov, you don't have Bisamim on Motzei Yom Tov in Havdalah? So Lekach Nireh, so Tosfos answers, the Yom Tov Leka Neshama Yisera, so Tosfos weighs in, right, the anonymous voice here in Tosfos, not the Rashbam, thinks that you don't have Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov. V'hacha ein maskir Bisamim mishum the Simchas Yom Tov v'achil oshtia mo'il kamo Bisamim. So it says, then why is it that Shabbos going into Yom Tov, you don't have Bisamim, right? Because Maman of Shach, either you get into Shem Yisera in Yom Tov, in which case you should always have Bisamim in Havdalah of Yom Tov, or you don't, in which case you should have it going from Shabbos into Yom Tov. And he says, it's very simple. It's not that you need Bisamim per se. You need something to pick you up after you lose your soul, your extra soul. So, in a normal week, you have Bisamim. When Shabbos goes into Yom Tov, you have Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov, you're going to be celebrating, and you'll forget about the fact that you don't have your extra soul anymore. There are other reasons, but this is right. So we see in Tosfos in Machlokas, does Neshama Yisera exist on Yom Tov or not? Now again, coming back to what we've seen before, if you take the sort of rationalist approach of Rashi Meiri, it doesn't make sense to say that Yom Tov doesn't have Neshama Yisera. What do you mean it doesn't have Neshama Yisera, right? You're not working, you're tranquil, you're eating, you're drinking, right? In what sense does not have Neshama Yisera? If you think that it's the spiritual thing, then sure, maybe you don't have it on Yom Tov. Unless you think, you know, that Neshama Yisera is the relaxation that comes with Shabbos, and it doesn't exist in the same way on Yom Tov, because you're allowed to do some malacha. Right, because you're allowed to do melechas ochel nefesh, so at least potentially, you know, you're cooking and you're shechting and whatever. So maybe even on a rationalist perspective, it's not quite as restful as Shabbos. I don't know. It seems at some level to hang on this, right? Because right from a rationalist perspective, the Rashi-esque perspective, I don't understand why Yom Tov wouldn't have it. The more mystical perspective, I understand. Maybe Yom Tov has, maybe it doesn't. But I understand why someone could at least claim that you don't. And again, so you see here that his right, he thinks there's a real nafkah into this question, right? That the Rashbam thinks that it must be you have Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov, because otherwise you would need to have Besamim on Motzei Shabbos even when it's Yom Tov, because you're losing your Neshama Yisera. And then the anonymous Day Antos is saying no, right? The solution for losing your Neshama Yisera isn't specifically Besamim; it's any sort of enjoyment. So normally it's Besamim, but other times it could be anything else. The Rajba picks up on, continues on this theme, and asks, right, Lama in Mavarchel Besamim Motzei Yom Tov Shchalias Besoch HaShabbos, right? Why don't you have Besamim on Motzei Yom Tov going into Shabbos, right? The flip side, Yom Tov going into Shabbos, Kamoshan Mavarchel Motzei Shabbos, Shere Yesh Be Yom Tov Nisham Yisir, because he asserts that there is Nisham Yisir on Yom Tov. Well, Zanim Mavarchel Be Yom Tov Shchalias Motzei Shabbos Yak Nahaz Ven Mavarchel Al Besamim. So it says, Tshuva, Nira li, ki neshama yisera sha'amru, hum b'nei sha'yamim nifalim kifi inyan hatchalat briyutam. So he says that the reason what does neshama yisera mean? It means that each day taps in to the spiritual power invested in the beginning of creation. Ulefichach, tishnigmeres melechas habriya, omeid ha'olam al shleimuto. So when the world had been finished, the first time around, right, day six, ubriato b'shabbat, right, and then we went into Shabbos with a complete creation. So then we set into motion this perpetual cycle where going to Shabbos is the world has this power of completeness. And therefore the world, so to speak, gets stronger and more complete as the week goes on, and then it starts again. Varishon chalush mikulan, so Sunday is the weakest of all your spiritual days. Shemimenu hatchala, because that's where we start. Ulefichach tzarich rechani lashiv nefesh ulechazek, and therefore you need spices to strengthen your soul. Avo matzah yom tov, even though it's holy. I'm sorry, right?
It's like Shammai in some ways. Because Shammai said that every day he would save something for Shabbos, meaning that he sees it as a progression all the time.
Going interesting, to right? That would be a nice another reason why maybe this Gemara follows the Beis Shammai Hill, right? Is that the notion of Neshama Yisera is building on that connection between right. The weeks. Interesting. Right, says we call Malcolm Shabbayom Devar Shabbos. So he says, look, in the end, I take it back. He says the reason that Neshama Yisera doesn't mean like, oh, it's a holy day. It means that it has the power of that original Shabbos. It means it's the power of completeness that comes from Shabbos, and therefore Yom Tov doesn't have it. Nevertheless, when Yom Tov falls after Shabbos, Eino Tzarich L'Besamim, you still don't need Besamim, like Tosos She'oneg Yom Tov Olek Oneg Besamim, because the enjoyment of Yom Tov counts the Yoter, and it's even better than spices. The Yesh Mefarshim, and some say that Neshama Yisera Dahainu HaMenucha Va'oneg Shanefesh Motzah B'Shabbos K'ilu Hi Neshama Yisera. Right now he goes to Rashi. Other people think that it's not this spiritual thing. It's just the peace of mind you get on Shabbos. Uksha'over Mimenu V'Nechnas Mimei HaTorach Va'inu. And then when you go from there into the physical and the mundane and busy work week, Ki'ilu Avda Menu Neshama Yisera Rav Hunechlash. It says, if you lost your Neshama Yisera in your weekend, Ufi Perzeh B'Shabbos Hushani Tos V'Bo Neshama. So it's on Shabbos when you get this. V'B'Neshu Yom Menucha, because the rest, V'Afilu M'Melechaz Ochal Nefesh. Oh, I didn't make that up. It's the Rajbu says it. And Yom Tov in a Hanami doesn't have the same rest because you can do some malacha, mash enken biyom tov. We call makom b'motzi Shabbos liyom tov ain zarach sha'oneg olula kibsamim. Despite that, the enjoyment of yom tov counts as the besamim. So the Rashi has both possibilities, right? So he says, right, it depends. If you think that neshama yisera is the spiritual thing, then the reason that you need besamim only on Shabbos, because only on Shabbos do you channel the powers of that original Shabbos, right? Someone who's into Kabbalah more explained to me that Kabbalists, and this seems to be true in this Rashba, view the world as a concentric circle, right? And every week and every month, you know, you hit the same point of the circle, and the powers like go up, right? You draw a line from the dot in the middle through the ever-expanding concentric circles like this, right? And it draws the kochot from that first original day, which seems to be what the Rashba thinks. And therefore, only on Shabbos do you get it, not on Yom Tov. The reason you don't need besamim from Shabbos going into Yom Tov is a technicality, which is that you replace that with enjoyment. Then he brings the second possibility, which is to say, no, it really is physical, like Rashi. But even within that, he thinks that there's no Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov, because he thinks Neshama Yisera is the tranquility that comes from not doing any malacha. And on Yom Tov, you can do some malacha, so you can do Ochal Nefesh, and he thinks that's enough to get rid of the Neshama Yisera.
The concept of we relax, like I could sleep better on Shabbat than I did during the week, because you don't have work, you don't have the phone. Okay. The concept of Neshama Yetera as being a physical change is that we're not attuned to ourselves, that we're not able to see that physical change, if that's what it is.
I guess. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean,
the Kabbalistic approach just is a little difficult for me.
I mean, it's difficult for me too. Meaning, it's a significant group of Rishonim who followed it. I mean, the Ramban, the Rashba, you know. But yeah, given why is it we don't feel it according to the divisions? I have no idea. You know, I mean, I'm sure there are people who say they do. I feel more relaxed on Shabbos, but I don't know if that's a different soul. I don't know what that would be like.
Before I took medication, I used to feel it.
Was that self-prescribed?
Well played. Okay. The Kolbo gives a different explanation for why it is that at Motzi Shabbos you need Besamim not having to do with Nishami Yisera, and this is really strange. He says, V'yeshom shetama Besamim Motzi Shabbos l'fisha kol b'chol Shabbos shoves or shel gehenem ve'ino masriach. The reason that you have Besamim is because on every Shabbos the fires of hell go out, so the world doesn't smell from them. Motzi Shabbos chozer v'tzorev u'masriach. And then on Motzi Shabbos the fires are reignited, so the burning bodies, I guess, or souls in hell smells. Well, zanu marichin v'samim, so you need spices. Shiagin me'oso ha'reach reach ha'besam v'achkach v'arach ha'aner. I don't know what that means, but he just takes a
different... Well, you have that thing about people after Shabbos.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. This is... Yeah, I mean, this is already in the... It starts in you know, it's very, very old. Right. I mean, that notion starts in... I did a paper once for Counterfocal. I traced it, and I eventually found that it started, as far as I can tell, with Rav Sar Shalom Gaon, so 8th century. So it's early, and Rabbeinu Tam is quoting it already. Is quoting it on the Gemara.
What prophet do you say in Havdalah when if you forget to do it, and you don't do it till Wednesday? Like Wednesday's your last chance to do it.
I think you only do Tuesday. But you think you only do it's only
you don't
Yayin and Hamavdalah. I think it's not you don't do Eish and you don't, and I don't think you do Pesach. You definitely don't do Eish. You only do Eish and Motzei Shabbos.
Summer would be consistent. If you're not doing it right,
correct, Shabbos, right? Right, and I think that's what we do. I think we don't do it. I think that's the case. Okay, so again, now we've through these we've touched on a few points, right? So one, we've continued to see this machlokas about what is Neshama Yisera, right? We've seen people who think again it's the spiritual one or it's the physical one. Does it exist on Yom Tov or not? So again, if it's the physical tranquility, I would have said it does, like the Rashbam. But the Rashba says maybe not, because even it's not quite as tranquil as Shabbos because you have Melech Zochel Nefesh. Or if you say it's the spiritual things, then it just depends. Right? If you think that every holy day gets an extra soul, then sure, Yom Tov gets it also. The Rashba thinks the reason you get this extra soul is because you tap into the kochot of the original Shabbos, and therefore it depends what day of the week it is. It's not about it being a holy day, it's specifically about it being Shabbos. The Nafkaminas is this issue of besamim, right? Why don't you have it the way we paskin, that you don't have it on Motzei Yom Tov, but you also don't have it Shabbos going into Yom Tov. So the Rashbam claims that the reason that you have it in Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's why you don't have besamim going from Shabbos into Yom Tov. He doesn't explain why you don't have it going from Yom Tov into the Chol. And that's why most Rishonim end up rejecting the Rashbam's explanation. But if you look in 14, he quotes, the Or Zeruah quotes that there were in fact people who did. So he quotes first, right, the shitos we've already seen, that according to this it's difficult, why don't you say, have besamim going into the weekday? So first he brings a technicality, which is, maybe you really should have besamim on Motzei Yom Tov, because you have a neshama seira on Yom Tov. It's just a technicality that we're worried that you're going to cut the spices off the plant on Yom Tov,
but not on Shabbos.
Which is what the he continues to say, right? Hiksha Rav Yaakov Akadosh Mikrobil Imkein Lulav Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkos Lo Yutal. Says first of all, we're never worried on Yom Tov because then we shouldn't have a lulav on Yom Tov because maybe you'll take it off the tree. Umori Yehuda Bar Yitzchak Zalayomer Imkein Neser Lechol Yirakos Biyom Tov Shem Yitlosh. You shouldn't be allowed to eat vegetables. Like, it's just not how we live our lives. We don't actually not let you do anything that requires plants on Yom Tov. Upeir Shrav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel. Right, so this is like we saw on the Rajban in Tosfos, that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, which again could be the anonymous voice in Tosfos, because the Or Zeruah, right, collects a lot of these Tosfos positions. So he thinks, in a Chanami, you don't have Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov, but the reason you don't have Besamim going from Shabbos into Yom Tov is because the Simcha of Yom Tov acts instead. Well, ain't bo nisham yisera lakachem ivarchem b'samim motzei from the chol. V'rabbeinu Tam Omer d'vidibrei Talmud ain't laser b'samim motzei Shabbos l'yom tov. So Rabbeinu Tam said, you know what? You really do have b'samim going from motzei Shabbos into Yom Tov. Right? Rabbeinu Tam just solved the problem very easily. He said, look, there's no Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov. Then why don't you have Besamim on Motzei Shabbos, which is Yom Tov? You do. The Gemara didn't say it. Umashalom Nasan Sim Besamim, Levi Sheino Mitzvah. You don't have to, but you really could and you should and it makes sense. You don't have to if you don't want to, so don't. But you really can. V'kein Kasa Rabbeinu Gershom, Maragolos, Atzal Shem Avarcha, Alatzam Motzei Shabbos, Yom Tov, Umasar Simon. And Megershim, in fact, said, you should do it. And now he brings again this Orshel Gehenom, right, that you're doing it to wipe out the smell. So the right, so another solution to it is to say, look, there is no Neshama Yisera on Yom Tov. So far we said, well, if that's the case, then why don't you have Besama Motzei Shabbos Yom Tov? Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Gershom just said, you do. Right? It's very simple. You do. Whenever you lose Neshama Yisera, you have Besama. We don't do it. Okay, that's wrong. What do you want from me, right? That's just wrong.
From now on, Gershom could do it. I could do it. So, you know.
Yeah, you could do it also. Right. So here, maybe we'll just do it next time because we're already a little bit over time. There's a few other nafkaminas from this, and then we'll go on to the next issue. Well,
I'll have to get the list if you can.
Yeah, I'll send out the list. We'll see a few more. I put four more here, right. But we'll come back.